Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamis Kuf Yud Gimel. We start right on top of the Amud, Umayishna. Now we know that the Chachamim were masakin that a katana or even a chireshes, deaf mute girl, can get married. Although in HaTorah they don't have the ability to marry, the Rabbanon introduced the institution of marriage in this case as well. We discussed this yesterday and the reasons for this takana. Now actually, we're going to see that there are some differences between the marriage of a katana and the marriage of a chireshes. We're going to explore some differences and try to figure out why indeed these differences exist. Umay shena katana de'ochla betruma. Why is it so that if one marries a katana, she can partake in his truma? He's a kohen, he can feed her truma. Truma midrabanan, obviously. Because truma, which is truma min atera, she may not eat. But truma midrabanan, he can feed her. Umay shena chereshes de'ochla betruma. In contrast to if a fellow married a chereshes, he cannot feed her truma. How do we know this? None. The Mishnah says, "Hey, the Rabbi Yechanan in Gudgada." Rabbi Yechanan testified the following two halachas. Number one, alachi reshes, she see avia. If a katana was married off by her father, then she became a chireshes along the way and became a gedola. She yoytze beget. So although her marriage was min haTorah, because it was done by the father, and now she's a chereshes, unable to really comprehend. She doesn't have the full das. Still, her husband can give her get, as we learned yesterday, because for get, you do not need her consent. You do not need her das. That's number one. Val katana bas Yisrael. Number two, he testified that a katana bas Yisrael who married a kayin with a marriage which is only midrabanon, Valaktana bas Yisrael shenisas l'koin, sheichelas betruma, she can have his truma. So ktana eats truma. Vilu chereshes lo yachla. But if a koin should marry a chereshes, same idea. It's an isun midrabanon. No truma. Why? Answers the Gemara Gezeira concerned shemo yachil cheresh b'chereshes. If you allow the koin to feed the chereshes, next time, he might be a chereish as well, feeding his wife the chereishes. What's wrong with that? V'leichel. Let her eat. Katan oichel neveleisu. At worst, it's a katan, or in this case, it's a chereish, who's not yet obligated, does not have chiv of mitzvahs, eating something aser, like a katan eating a nevela. It's not our business, not our concern. So these two people are not chayiv and mitzvahs. Who cares what they're eating? Gzeru shameyach al cheresh bepikachas. Oh, the chashash is that if you allow the pikeach to feed his wife cheresh, or the cheresh feed the cheresh, next time he might be a kohen cheresh feeding his wife a pikachas. What's wrong with that? Well, if she's a pikachas, she's an adult, she's an understanding adult, she is chayiv and mitzvahs, responsible for her actions, she may not have his truma. What do you mean? Says the Gemara, who cares? V'cheresh b'pikachas nami. Even if it were so, that this will lead to that, which will lead to that, which will lead to the cheresh feeding the pikachas. V'cheresh b'pikachas nami. Leichel b'truma d'rabbonon. After all, we are speaking about truma d'rabbonon. There's no isidarais involved. Chacham allow it. Oh, here comes the punchline. And Rashi says that the whole back and forth in the Gemara was really leading up to this teretz. Gezeira, you know why we don't allow a kohen to feed his wife who's a chereshes? She can't have his truma, even though it's truma mid rabbonon. Gezeira dilma osi lo eichla betruma doi raisa. Oh, because perhaps they won't differentiate. Next time, he's going to be the cheresh, she's going to be the pikachas, and they'll feed her. Not only truma mid rabbonon, but even truma doi raisa, which of course is not roi for this issue. So the question was, why is it that a katana can have truma and chereshes can't? Answer, if you allow the chereshes, it might lead to a pikachas having truma, not only a truma midrabanan, even truma midarais. Of course, she cannot do that because she's a Yisraelis and not really married to this kohen. However, says Rashi, when it comes to a katana, nobody will confuse the two. A katana and a gdola, different worlds, different age bracket. And therefore, there's no gzera there. We allow the katana to have his truma without any concern. We find one more difference between katana and chereshes regarding kesuba rights. Umayishna katana de islo kesuba. Why is it that when a fellow marries a katana, he is obligated to pay her the ksuba upon divorce or death? Umayishna chereshes de leislo ksuba. We don't have the same by chereshes. Why didn't the chachamim activate the chiv ksuba by chereshes as well? Dimkein mimni veloy naspila. You know what? If you make it too difficult, people will not get involved with chereshes. It's difficult enough as it is. Don't pile it up. Don't pose another obstacle along the way. Make it easy. Make her attractive. Says the Gemara, Uktana minolan disla ksuba. How do you even know this as true, that a katana will get ksuba and a chiresh is not? It's not. I'm a madness. A katana who was married and decided to walk away to reject her husband. It's her fault. She can't just turn around and claim ksuba payments. Yashnia, or a fellow who married his relative, a secondary relative, Asamid Rabban. There as well, there was no ksuba. Chachamim rescinded the ksuba obligations. Third case is Ve'ailanis, a woman who physically cannot bear children. In all these cases, Ein Lahen Ksuba, in the case of the Ailanis, because he was unaware of this, it was a Mekach Toz, this is not what I had in mind. Aval! Oh, so we see from this Mishnah, the Ktana, theoretically, will have ksuba, because she walks away. She loses the ksuba. Nobody asked her to walk away. But otherwise, aval yoytze begetu ktano, yesh lo ksuba. Suppose she got a get. Even if she's a ktano, she will get ksuba. Right? Just like an adult yoytze begetu ktano as well. If she left me through a get, she gets ksuba. So ktano gets. V'chereshes, minolan de lesto ksuba, but v'chereshes will not get ksuba upon her departure. How do we know? The sanya. Cheresh v'shoyte shenosu pikhos. Cheresh man, a shoyte man, married a healthy woman. Af api. Shenispakeyach ha-cheresh. V'nishta pe-ha-shoyte. Even if the cheresh or shoyte became healthy along the way. Ein lohem aleihem klum. There's no chiyuv ksuba at all, because they would have a chayiv ksuba to begin with. Ratzu l'kaima. Now, let's say after they turn healthy, they decided, you know what, we want to hang on to this. We want to stay married. Yesh lahem ksuba. So in this case, they are chayiv in ksuba obligations. So if they married a cheresh, a shoyte, even if the situation changed, they were healed along the way. It doesn't matter. They had no das when they started off. Right? And chachamim were not masak in ksuba, even in a cheresh situation, so there's no ksuba at all. But if they decided, you know what, going forward, we want to be mekayim, we want to keep this wife, in that case, it's like a revamped situation. They're recommitting to the marriage. And now that they're healthy, they are fully obligated in chiyuv ksuba. Continues the Mishnah. Upekeach shenoseh chereshes, a shoyte. He's healthy and she's a chereshes. She's a shoyte. Afilu kasav lo meyamona. Ksubasa kayemas. So in this case, even if he committed to her in writing 100 mana, which is way more than the typical ksuba obligations, the obligation holds. He is chayv to pay. Why? The Bryce explains. Doesn't happen on its own. V'pnei sherotzo lizoik b'nechasav. He decided to he decided to commit himself to this exorbitant amount. He was mazik his nechasav. He brought a loss upon himself. It's his own. He did it by his own volition. It's not that we compelled him to do this. He volunteered. Fine. End of quote. Clearly, the chiyuv ksuba upon marrying a chireshes is only by volunteering, right? You don't force it upon him. There's no takana. Tama the rotza. It's only because he offered. Holy rotza. But if he is unwilling, ain lo, there is no ksuba. There's no automatic ksuba for a chireshes. Why not? A ktana, yes. A chireshes, no. You think they're pretty much the same parasha. They're both the rabbanans. Why that difference? Answers the Gemara Dim Kain, because if you apply a ksuba to a chireshes, mimni v'loy naspila, people will not get involved with the chereshes. Make it easier. Make it something that's something tempting. Therefore, the Chachamim did not activate chiyuv ksuva by the chereshes. The ktana, yes, but not the chereshes. Apparently, the ktana is not such a big burden. In fact, Rashi says regarding miyun, you know, ktana is more of a limited time type of deficiency. Sooner or later she'll grow up, and after all she's healthy, nothing wrong. So in that case, we made a ksuba as part of the arrangement. Asks the Gemara, okay, so you're concerned about attraction, making it happen, right? You want it to be successful, you want people to do this marriage, you want the chereshes to be sought after, and therefore you do not apply ksuba obligations. If that's the case, if that's your consideration, then pikachas lecherish. She's healthy and he's a cherish. You want it to work. You want it to be an attractive choice, right? Litkan lo ksuba, let hachamim. In this case, apply ksuba obligations. Dim ken, because otherwise, mim ni evil oy minsubi. People won't be attracted to the man cherish. So in this case, it should reverse. Chacham should apply a ksuba for this very same consideration. You want people to be okay with the cheresh. Why is that not a concern? Says the Gemara, it's not a concern because yoyser misha ish roitz lisa. More than what a man wants to marry, isha roitz lisa, the woman wants to marry. The woman is more inclined to want to get married. It's just part and parcel of her nature, and therefore we're not concerned about this cheresh attracting suitable matches. We don't need to go ahead and be machayev and maksuba for him to land a successful shidduch. But says the Gemara, there was actually a story how cheresh, a fellow who was a cheresh, dehava b'shivavusei. He lived in the neighborhood of the Rav Malkayu. And apparently Rav Malkayah was looking after him and his properties. Ansebe itasa. So he found for him an isha. Because of la arba meyazuzay minechase. And he committed to 400 zuz of this cherish's nechasim as part of the marriage arrangement, as part of the ksuba obligation. So in this case he saw fit. He saw a need. He saw that it would be letayelis. It would benefit the cherish. Amarava. Rava says, I'm impressed. This was a smart move. Man chakim. Who is as smart? Who is a chacham? K'rav Malkayah. The Gavur Rabbu, he's a great man. And this was a wise decision. Why? K'savar, he figures, ilu rotza shivcha l'shamsha. This fellow was alone, disabled. He needed somebody to be at his side. Let's say he would have hired a shivcha. Miloy zav ninon lay. If he needs a shivcha to serve him, wouldn't we go ahead and take his money and use it for that purpose? Of course, certainly a wife. You could tell to have both benefits. She helps him, she serves him, and she's his wife. Of course, the deal was well worth it. Okay, so bottom line is, we find two differences between the chereshes and aktana. One is regarding truma. The aktana, yes, the chereshes lo, concerned about exero, that it might be pikachas eating, a truma de rice, which is a problem. Ksuba, ktana, yes, but not chereshes. We want people to be attracted to the chereshes situation, not shy away on account of this ksuba commitment. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Chiya bar Ashi amar Shmuel. Isha is a cherish. A cherish marries, right? His wife. Ein chayov en aleh oshem toli. If one interacts with his wife as married, typically an ish is a terrible avir and is a chatas if it's done b'shogig. But the wife of a cherish, not only is there no chatas, you don't even bring an oshem toli, which was typically the carbon brought if one committed a suffix iser, which involves kares. In this case, we don't say that the wife of the cherish is a suffix ish. No. It is vada, it is certain that she is not his wife minatura. Although midrabanan, yes, but minatura, she is not considered his wife. There's no karbanis, there's no asham toloi, there's no chatas. Leima mesayeli, perhaps we'll have a riot to Shmuel's chiddush. From a Mishnah in Meseches Trumos, which seems to indicate that minatura, a cherish is considered lacking das, who cannot perform a kinyan, nor marry a wife. Chamisha lo yitroimu, the following five individuals should not be separating truma. Vim tarmu, and even if they did it, it doesn't work. Ein truma san truma. Who are they? We start with the cherish. Ve'ilu ein cherish. Clearly, a cherish doesn't have the ability to accomplish much, to make a change of status. Cherish, shoyte, v'katan, v'atoyrem, v'shein, shaloi. He does his friend's truma without permission. Va'ivit kechavim shetaram, shel Yisrael, or goy, the truma on the crop of a Yisrael. Afilu b'rishus Yisrael, ain't truma say truma. Even if the Yisrael gave him permission, it doesn't work. We learn from a pasuk, gam atam, it has to be part of the Bnei Yisrael. So a cherish cannot do truma, even b'diavet, apparently he has no das. That's a right to Shmuel, that his wife is not considered married, menater. So is this a raya? Says the Gemara, not so fast, not necessarily. Why? Perhaps Shmuel would hold that an ishes cherish is a suffix ishes ish, because the cherish is considered a fellow who has somewhat limited das. So it's like a suffix. Is it a kinyan? Is it not a kinyan? Who do amikar belazer? Perhaps Shmuel follows Rabbi Lazar's shita, a different Tana, who holds that a cherish is considered a suffix ben das, the sanya. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Mishum Belazer, Truma's cherish. If a cherish performs Truma, lo yitetze lechulin, so the Truma that the cherish separates does not just revert to chulin. You know why? It's an unknown. Repneshu suffik. We don't know whether the cherish is considered a bar das or that he has sufficient mental capacity to perform kinyanim and to make Truma. So perhaps Shmuel wasn't going like the Tanakama, that a cherish is considered lacking das completely. Perhaps he's somewhere in the middle. It's a suffix. Oh, one second. If it's a suffix, then his wife is an Asham Tali. If he follows Rabbi Lezer, a cherish is a suffix bar das, Asham Tali, namin d'chayiv. So if one interacts with the cherish's wife, he committed a suffix iser. This is Asham Tali. Answer, b'inon chaticha m'shtei chatichis. Although it's a suffix, but the halacha is that to bring in Asham Tali, it has to be a suffix aver committed as a result of making a choice between two separate pieces. You have a piece of chaylev, which is asr, a piece of another type of fat, shuman, which is mutar. You're not sure which one you ate. So you had a choice presented before you. You had a shtei chatichis. You had the isr there, and you're not sure if you interacted with the isr. Then you bring in Asham Tali, but by the Isha of the Cherish, there are no two women here. One is Mutter, one is Asr. It's one and the same person. It's an inherent uncertainty. In this case, there's no Asham Tali. That's the halacha. So perhaps Shmuel would consider the Cherish as a partial ben das, and his truma is suffix truma. Nevertheless, when it comes to his wife, there's no Asham Tali because of this halacha. Umi boy Rabbi Lazar. Chaticha m'shtei chaticha. So you follow Rabbi Lazar, but Rabbi Lazar himself does not subscribe to this concept that you need to have one of two pieces in front of you. V'atanya Blazer Omer, look, Rabbi Blazer says, koi, kvi, this hybrid type of creature, combined chaya, behema, we're not sure how to define this kvi. Chayovin al chelbe oshem tov. If one eats the chelov of this kvi, so if it's a behema, there's a chiv on the chelov. If it's a chaya, the chelov is mutter. Not sure what he is. Not sure how to classify him. You bring an Asham Toli upon eating the chelev of this one single creature. There are no two chatichas before you. You're not presented with a choice. So how can you tell me that would be a reason to delete the Asham Toli? Well, yeah, Shmuel, following Shmuel, Sobel Rabbi Elazar b'chada. On the one hand, he will adopt Rabbi Elazar's view regarding the chayrish. He's a Suffolk Bendas. So when it comes to Truma, we're not really going to do away with his Truma. It's a Suffolk Truma. But still, when it comes to the Isha of the Cheresh, there is no Hashem Tali because Upalagali Bechada, on that account, he disagrees with Rabbi Elazar. He holds that in order to produce Hashem Tali, it has to be one of two choices before you. So according to this Pshat in the Gemara, when Shmuel says that the Isha of a Cheresh is not considered a Eshes Ish, even with respect to an Hashem Tali, perhaps Shmuel will hold that a Cheresh is a Suffolk Ben Das, and his Isha is a Suffolk Eshes Ish, but there will be no Hashem Tali because it needs to be a Suffolk Aveira committed as a result of being faced with two options and having chosen one of them. Vika de Amri, there was another version of Shmuel. Amr Abchir Bar Ashi Amar Shmuel, the other way around. Eshes Cheresh, if one interacts with the wife of a Cheresh, Chayavin, Aleh Hashem Tali, you are Chayav. What do you mean? Meisvei. What about that Mishnah which says that a Cheresh cannot perform any kinyanim? Chamisha lo yitroimu. We have the following people, including the Cheresh, who cannot do truma. Savala, Rabbi Elazar, Shmuel follows Rabbi Elazar. A Cheresh is a Suffolk ben das. His wife is a Suffolk ishes ish. And if one gets involved with his wife, he brings an Hashem Tali because you do not need chaticha meshtei chaticha, even if it's one single entity who carries within himself or within herself both possibilities, that is enough to generate an Hashem Tali. So according to this version, Shmuel holds there is Hashem Tali. Number one, because the Cheresh is a Suffolk, whether he can marry, and number two, even this type of Suffolk generates Hashem Tali. Bo'o Rav Ashi, here comes a Shaila. My time at Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, if a Cheresh separates Truma, you have to be concerned that perhaps it is considered, it is Truma, because he's a Suffolk Ben Das. There are two ways to look at it, qualitatively or quantitatively. Mifshat Pshitele de Cheresh Data Klishtahu, is it because Rabbi Elazar says, it's clear to me, it's Pasha to me, that whatever Das, whatever mental abilities the Cheresh has is data klishta. It's a weakened, it's a limited type of comprehension. Right? So it's, let's say, 50%. Okay? So qualitatively, it's 50%. I'm sorry, quantitatively, it's 50%. The question is whether it is a deficient qualitatively as well. That's a shaila. So quantity we know. What about quality? Still, we have a shaila. Rabbi Elazar is unsure whether whether that 50% that he does have, is it clear? Is it real? Perhaps even that 50% is lacking and deficient, and therefore we don't treat him like a bardas. But certainly whatever he has, whatever he doesn't have, is all the time, it's consistent throughout. It's not a fluctuating entity. That's one side. So we know he's not fully capable. He's somewhat lacking, somewhat limited. But that bit that he has, is it 100%? Which would be enough to consider him a bardas? Or even that part is lacking. Oidilma, or the other side of the coin would be, pshita lididate klishta. V'lav date tzilusu. Rabbi Elazar knows that the das, of whatever das the Cheresh has, is the klishta, it's lacking, it's deficient. It's not deemed proper das. V'lav data tzilu, so it's not clarity. So what's the shaila? Why would you consider his truma or his wife? V'achayu taima, the reason is because it's a fluctuating entity. Given the itim cholim, at times he's healthy, itim shayt, at times he's unhealthy. So that's the suffix. You'll never know when he did the truma. Was it at a point of clarity or not? You never knew when he was mekalish the wife. So he treated it as a suffix. The matter of kamina, this is theoretics. What's the is there any halachic effect to this shaila? Sure. Lohiti ishta beget. Cheresh marries. He wants to divorce with a get. Can he do so? It depends on these two. Stadim. Iyam raschada datu. If you say that whatever he has is consistent for all time, then kikidushin kakirushin. Then sure, he could be megarish. Whatever ability he had at the time of kiddushin, whatever kiddushin he generated, he counteracts it by doing a get. So one cancels the other one out. So that would work. Vi amras itim cholam itim shoyte. But if the point is that it's a fluctuating scenario, sometimes he's okay, sometimes he's not. You'll never know where he's holding when. Kiddushin matzim mekadosh. So of course he could be mekadosh. Nothing wrong with that. Whether he is okay or not, he could be mekadosh. Right? Maybe it's a deraisa. If he's healthy, maybe he's at a low point, so it's the rabbanon. But either way, it's okay. Problem is, girushi le'matzim mekadosh. But he can't be mekadosh. If he was mekadosh at a low point, fine. It's only with the rabbanon. He can release her the same way. But you'll never know. Maybe he experienced a period of clarity at that time. He was in a high. And he was mekadosh midaraisa. He was perfectly fine mentally. And now he's perhaps not in the same state. So this can't undo the kedusha Torah. Take it, we leave it as a kash, as a shayla. Right? So my, what's the halacha? Take it. It's an unknown. Meaning, by truma we see that Rabbi Eliezer treats it as a suffix. And by Cheresh, we assume the same, but what happens if he wants to be Mekadosh and be Megarish? We're not sure. Now, the Rabbanon, Rashi points this out, the Rabbanon disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer. They hold that Cheresh is not considered a Bardas at all. In fact, they say his Truma is worthless. So his marriage is worthless. Minatu. Just, he can be Mekadosh with the Rabbanon. Now, the same power, the same ability to be Mekadosh allows him to be Megarish. That was the Mishnah. Machnes b'ra miza, moitzi b'ra miza, because we treat them both as though they're on the same level, on the same turf. Nishtatis v'chul. The Mishnah says, if an isha becomes a shoita along the way, you can't be megarish. Why not? Amar b'itzchak dvar tera, you should know that minat tera, there's no problem. Shoita misgareshes. One can be megarish. A shoita. Why? You don't need her consent. It's like issuing a get to a healthy isha against her will. You don't need her willingness. Shoita is no different. So why? If so, did Chachamim not allow you to be megarish a shoita? It's a gzira midrabbanan. Technically it works. But we're concerned shelo yinagu ban minag hefker. If she's unwell, she might roam the streets unsupervised. It's not conducive spiritually, and therefore we say, you know what? Hold on to her. You're doing a great mitzvah. So minat Torah it works, but not midrabbanan. Hechi dami, what type of shoita? What state? What mental state is she? What are we speaking about? Ile midayidas lishmar gita. She has the ability to hold on to her get, to accept the get and look after it. V'yidas lishmar atzma, to look after herself as well when she's out here. So what's the problem? Mi nagi ba minak hefker. Why would anybody interact with her inappropriately? What's the problem? Ella, apparently was speaking, de'en yidas lishmar loy gita v'loy atzma. She's not stable enough to look after the get that's given to her, or to look after herself. So then, d'var teira shoyta miskareshes. So how could you suggest that minat Torah it works? You tell me minat Torah it's okay, just not midrabbanan. In this case, it would not work even min haTorah. Va'amrit v'rabbianai. We learned in a brisa, the pasuk says v'nasam b'yada. You have to give the get into her hands. She has to accept it. That has to be secure and safe in her hands. Mi sheyesh lo yad legarish atzma. Only an isha who has the ability to accept the get, look after the get, to receive it. That is considered in the sinas haget. That's considered an issuing of the get. Yotzezu, as opposed to an isha who is not mature enough, or not mentally stable enough to look after the item that's given to her, that's not considered issuing of a get. You haven't given her anything. She hasn't really accepted it. We have another brisa, another reason why a shoita cannot go through the divorce process. You have to send her away. Send her away for good without having to turn around and come back. An isha who understands, look, it's over. I'm gone. I'm not coming back. That's a gerush. As opposed to a shoita who doesn't have the ability to understand what's going on. You send her away, she comes back. That's not a gerushin. Oh, so apparently we're not speaking about an isha who's experiencing this severe mental imbalance. If it were so, the gerushin would not be valid even by Atayra. Like, apparently we're speaking about something in the middle. She's stable enough to look after the item that's given to her, the get. She'll receive it, she'll accept it, hold on to it. But she's not mature enough to look after herself. That explains the halacha that we said. So in the Torah it works. Because she looks after the get. She accepts it. You have given her something. That's min haTorah. But still, chachamim don't allow it. V'amar rabbanan lo lifka, don't give her a get. Shelo yinagu v'minag hefku, concerned about inappropriate behavior. Amar rabbi dei kanami. If we take a close look at the wording of the Mishnah, we'll see as such. That what? If the man is a shoita, then you can't do anything. But if the isha is a shoita, min haTorah, he can be megarisha, but not midrabban. Diktone gabi dida. When the Mishnah refers to her, what does it say? Nishtatis, if she became mentally unstable, lo yoitzi, he shouldn't do it. We devise against it. Apparently, min haTorah it works. We don't allow it. It's the Rabban. Begabe didei, as opposed to when the Mishnah refers to him becoming a shoita along the way, lo yoitzi elamis, he cannot give a get. Lo yoitzi elamis, it's an absolute expression. Never. Maishna, what was the difference between one and the other? Maishna hacha diktani elamis. When he's a shaita, it says, lo yoti elamis. It's absolute. U maishna hasam. The lo yoti elamis, as opposed to when the isha becomes a shaita, we say, lo yoti, without adding elamis, that absoluteness. Difference is, elashmamina hadahir aisa drabbanan. When he's a shaita, there's nothing he can do. He's the one issuing the get. He's not able. Lo yoti elamis. Let's see. Turns healthy again. But otherwise, in its current state, there's no get min haTorah. When she turns shoita, we advise against it, but technically, min haTorah works. And what's the concept behind it? So we have this in the Mishnah, and the Gemara explained it right here, that the pikachas, right, a regular isha, can get divorced even bal kocha. You don't need her willingness. You don't need her haskama. So technically, even when she's a shoita, it can work. And when she's a chireshes as well, even though she's lacking das, you can give her a get. As opposed to when the man is experiencing mental difficulties, he's a chiresh, he's a shoita. He is the one issuing the get. He can't do so in his current state. And this idea was really the subject of dispute in our Mishnah. When the Chacham presented this halacha, Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri challenged it. He says, well, what's going on? What's the difference? Right? He says, why are you allowing an isha chereshes to receive a get, but the ish cheresh cannot issue a get? What's the difference? Now, there are two ways to learn his objection. Iboilu, the Bnei Yeshiva asked as follows. Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri, when he objected to the Chacham, which way was he going? Both l'chumra or both l'kula? Ish pshitale, was he okay with the man cheresh not be megarish? He understood why that doesn't work. That wasn't really his objection. The isha kamibayli, his objection pertained to the fact that we're allowing the isha chereshes to have her get. And he would like that the isha and the isha should be on the same boat. Just like the ish cannot be megarish when he's not okay, she can't either receive a get when she's not okay. So both are lechumra. That was his point. Oidimo, perhaps the other way around. Both lekula. Isha pshitali. Rabbi Yechon fully agreed, that the isha is a cheresh, so give him a garisher. You don't need her das. The ish come barely. His issue was with the man. Why are you not allowing the same by the man, a cheresh? He wanted both to have the same aloch. So both are also both amut. Which way was he heading? Tashma, bring right from the Mishnah itself. But the Chachamim, because the Chachamim respond to him. You know, sometimes from the response you can deduce the question. They respond to him as follows. You can't compare Hayisha Megarish, Leisha Miskareshes. The Ish that's doing the Gerishin is playing a different role than the Isha who's receiving the get. The Isha can be sent out with or without her consent. Even a Chereshes can be at the receiving end of a get. As opposed to the Ish. We'll explain to you why the Ish, who's a Cheresh, cannot do the Gerishin. You know why? Big difference, because he's the one giving the get. You have to have his askama, you have to have his willingness, his consent, his das. So what does it sound like? Shema Mina, it sounds like Ish kamiboyle. That they were making their case regarding the man being Asr, to be Megarish in the state. Apparently Rabbi Yechon was vying in the other direction. Just like the Ish is okay, the Ish should be okay too. And they were saying, no, the Ish is different. Ish cannot be Megarish when he's a Cheresh, as we just explained. Adrab, just the opposite, says the Gemara. Maybe Rabbi Yechon was suggesting that they're both no good. Well, how do we know? Midi Ka'amrile, because later on in the Mishnah, they respond to him by saying, Av zu kayoitze bo. We had the aloha of the Isha, Chiresh is over there, and they said, look, this is proof to our position. A Chiresh can be on the receiving end of a get. Shema mina Isha kami boile. Now it sounds like they were trying to make their case regarding the Isha. Sounds like he didn't like the Isha getting a Gerishin when she's a Cheresh. And they were saying, yes, look, we support our position from the halacha there, from the testimony of Yechem and Gudgud, the whole story in the Mishnah. Apparently, he was trying to suggest that both are no good. Ish Cheresh or the Isha Chereshes cannot be involved in a get. And they were disagreeing regarding the Isha. Isha Chereshes is okay. So which way is it? Was he trying to be machmer on both or mekel on both? Elo says the Gemara, perhaps Rabbi Yechim Anuri devreim kamerlu. It sounds like Rabbi Yechim Anuri really was trying lechumra on both accounts. Just as the Ish Cheresh cannot be involved, likewise, if the Isha is a Chereshes, she has to be a participant, a sane individual, taking part in the process. You can't just give her a get when she doesn't know what's going on. So the same halacha that applies to Ish applies to Isha. But we had that lashon which sounded a bit differently. It sounded like they were trying to explain why the Ish is no good. So it sounds like he was trying to be mekel. So how do we work this through? Says the Gemara, Elo Rabbi Yechim Anuri the Reim Ka'amarlo. He was just relating to them on their wavelength. Meaning like this. Lididi, my personal opinion is that they're both aser. Whether the man is cheresh or the ish is cheresh, you can't do a get in this state. Keicha the ish lematzim megarish. Just like if the man is a cheresh, he cannot be megarish. Isha namig la megarish, likewise the isha, when she's a cheresh, no gerish. That's my personal opinion. Ella l'detchu, but according to you, you hold otherwise, right? You hold that Isha Chereshes can be a part of the Gerishin. Maishna Isha, Maishna Isha. What's the difference between the man and the woman? Right? Amule, so to that, they responded by saying, big difference. Einoi doima ho Isha Megarish. A big difference between the man and the woman. The Ish has to be Bardas, but the Isha does not, and that explains why an Ish Cheresh can be Megarish, cannot be Megarish, but an Isha, even when she's in a state of Chereshes, not really comprehending, I mean, part of the process, you can issue her a get. So bottom line is, the Gemara seems to conclude that according to Rabbi Yechim Anuri, it's no on both accounts. Ish Cheresh, no get. Isha Chereshes, no get. And they responded by saying, and he presented them with a quandary. What's going on? I hold both are asa. But according to you, How could this be mutter and this be asr? Big difference, they said. He is the initiator, and she's just on the receiving end. Hey, Rabbi Yechon v'chus. Rabbi Yechon, when good Gedah tells us, yeah, you can give a get even to a chereshes. You don't need her consent. Omar Rava may do so. Shel Rabbi Yechon ben good Gedah. Based on this testimony, we will learn the following halacha. Amar le'edim. Husband turned to the edim and he says, look, Ru'u geit zeh shani noisin. Look at this get that I'm about to hand to my wife. Va'amala, then he turns to his wife. So this was done out of earshot. Then he turns to his wife and he says, look, I have something from you. Kinsi shtar chayv zeh. Here, accept the, here, take the shtar chayv, the loan document. So he hides the fact that it's a get. And she takes it. Harizim agureshes, it works. Why? You don't need her consent to activate the get. Mi loy amar Rabbi Yechon ben good gedah. Haven't we just learned from Rabbi Yechon? Loy bein adat, you don't need her consent. Hachanami here as well. Loy bein adat, you don't need her involvement. Pshita, of course. Well, obviously. It's a direct correlation. What's the chiddush? Says the Gemara, there is a chiddush. Ma'o detema, perhaps I would think to say that mid the amar lo, kinsi shtar chayv zeh, the fact that he calls it a shtar chayv in front of her, perhaps bituli batla, he nullifies the get by doing that. Kamashmon, the chiddush is no, we don't have to suspect that he was mabatla the get, it's still a perfectly valid get. Why? He is the batla, because if indeed he had a mind to be mabatla the get, la'edim av kamerlu. He would have told the edim, look, by the way, this is a batla. Umad la'yamar la'edim, la'batla v'la'midi. In fact, he didn't tell it to the edim. In fact, he told the edim it's a get and never retracted. It's clear that he's not trying to be mabatal the get. So why then did he address his wife in this manner? Machmas kisufa. Hu deka amar lo. He was simply embarrassed. On account of shamefulness and embarrassment, he concealed the fact that it was a get. But of course, it was a get and it remains as such, even though his wife wasn't really part of the process. She wasn't aware of the contents of the get. In fact, she was misled. It doesn't matter. As long as she received it, it's hers, and she's divorced. Okay, so what do we learn today? With the Rabbanan, a Ketana can have Nesu'in, a Chereshes as well. There are two differences. Actually, three differences. If we add yesterday's difference, a Ketana could just do a Mion, a Chereshes not. We're concerned that people will shy away from the Chereshes if she could just walk away on them. A Ketana can eat Truma, because nobody will mix her up with a Gdoila. A Chereshes cannot, because next time they might feed a Pikachas Truma Dereis. A Ketana gets Ksuba, but not a Chereshes. Again, the point is, people will hesitate to get involved with a Chereshes. You have the case of the Cheresh, who was looked after by Rav Malkayoy, who committed a Ksuba on his behalf, because he was looking out for his benefit. He felt it was to his benefit to get involved in this relationship. What about the Isha of a Cheresh? We have two versions of Shmuel. Version 1 says, if one interacts with the Isha of a Cheresh, there's no Hashem Tali. The Gemara concludes that perhaps even if the Cheresh is a Safek Bardas and his wife is a Safek Eshesish, but still Shmuel would hold that Hashem Tali is not brought unless you have a choice between two clear options, as opposed to this case where the choice, both choices, both, I should say, both aspects are within the same person, that's not going to generate an Hashem Tali. According to version number 2, there is an Hashem Tali. A, because he follows Rabbi Lezer's Shita that a Cheresh is a Safek Ben Das, and even this type of case generates Hashem Tali. What is a Safek Ben Das according to Rabbi Lezer? Is it that we're not sure how to define his lack of knowledge? Or is it that we know exactly what it is, but it's a fluctuating, unknown entity? Sometimes he's okay, sometimes not. The community would be, if he marries, can he go ahead and divorce? We leave it as teiku. The Mishnah speaks about an isha who's a shoita. Minatora, the gerishin could work, but don't do it midrabanan because of the hefka concern. We're speaking about an isha who could look after her get, but she's not mature enough or not stable enough to look after herself. Don't do the gerishin. There's a concern of minag hefka. On the other hand, if the ish is a shaita, in that case he can't even issue a get minat Torah, because he's the initiator of the process, he needs to be bardas. Rabbi Chaminuri disagrees. He says even when the ish is a chereshes, you can't give her a get. And the Gemara concludes, shita Rabbi Chaminuri and good gedah and the chachamim is yes, you don't need her consent. You could do it bal karcha, even if she's a chereshes, And even this type of case where he was embarrassed and misled his wife into receiving that get, the get is still a get. Take care and all the best to you. Hatzlacha Rabbah.